You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast, in which we look each week at a different minor biblical character. At the beginning of Sefer Bereishit, which we're making our way through now, we find a lot of lists of names. We have this in Sefer Bereishit, in Parashat Bereishit. We also have it in Parashat Noach. And one of the things that one finds in these lists of names is that very often you'll have a name, names one right after the other, without giving us a tremendous amount of information. You know, sometimes how long they lived, how many children they had, etc. And then in scattered throughout these lists, you suddenly have, once in a while, one individual who is given more attention. But what's interesting about these instances is that very often the little bit of information that we are given confounds us even more. Meaning, it's not enough information for us to really understand what's going on. It's just enough to be tantalizingly obscure, right? To tell us that there's something more to this person, but we're not exactly sure what that is. So I want to look at one of these instances today, and that is the character of Lemech. And the Lemech that I'm talking about, because there are actually two of them, is the Lemech who appears at the end of Perek Dalet, starting with Pasuk Yudtet. The first thing we are told, Vayikach lo Lemech shtei nashim. Well, first in Pasuk Yudchet, I should say, we are told that he is born. He is born to a man named Metushael, his father. And then in Pasuk Yudtet, Vayikach lo Lemech shtei nashim, shem ha'achat Ada, v'shem ha'shenit Tzila. Right? Two wives, Ada, Ada and Sila. Vateled Ada et Yaval, hu haya avi yoshev oal umukne. V'shem achiv Yuval, hu haya avi kol tofes kinor v'ugav. So, the first wife, Ada, has two sons, Yaval and Yuval. Yaval was the founder, so to speak, of the shepherds, and the... and that sort of occupation. And Yuval, he was the first one who created all sorts of instruments and played music with them. V'tzila gam hi yalda et Tuval Kain. Tzila had a son named Tuval Kain. Lotesh kol choresh nechoshet uvarzel. Right, so he did all sorts of iron work for tools and the like. V'achot Tuval Kain na'ama. Right, and there was also a daughter born to Tzila, whose name was Na'ama. These individuals are not the focus of our podcast today, although they are certainly interesting to try to understand exactly what they were doing, what they were responsible for, etc. Vayomer lemech l'nashav, Ada v'tzila shema'an koli, nishe lemech ha'azena imrati, ki ish haragti lepitzi, v'yeled l'chaburati, ki shiv'atayim yukam kain v'lemech shiv'im v'shiv'a. So all of a sudden, in the middle of this description, we have a song, right? Lemech breaks out in song, possibly a song, certainly words that he says to his wives. And he says the following to his wives. Adan Sila, hear my voice, Shema'an Tkoli, Nishe Lemech Azena Imrati. Wives of Lemech, right, he's referring to himself in the third person, listen to what I have to say. Okay, now the rest of, translating the rest of his words is difficult. Because with almost every word and certainly every phrase in what he says, there are many interpretations. So I will give a very vague explanation of what the words mean, and basically the rest of today's podcast is to try to understand some of the interpretations, just a taste of the list of interpretations of these words of Lemech. So he says to his wives, listen to what I say. Ki ish haragti lepitzi. Right? I killed a man lepitzi. Petza is a a wound. So I killed a man, lipitzi, for my wound, by way of my wound, because of my wound. Not exactly clear. V'yeled l'chaburati. And I killed a boy. Chabura is a bruise. So, because of my bruise, by way of my bruise, on account of my bruise, not entirely clear. Ki shivatayim yukam Kain. Right? Because Kain will be taken revenge against, or will be avenged sevenfold. We'll get back to that in a moment. V'lemech shivim v'shiva. But lemech will be 70 and sevenfold. Now this last bit here refers back to the story of Cain and Hevel, which is just a few psukim earlier in this perek, where at the end of that story, or towards the end of that story, in Pasuk Tetvav, Hashem is responding to Cain, who has just said, Gadol avoni minso. Right, well, another phrase which has many interpretations, but basically Cain is asking for Hashem's protection, right? Saying that I'm going to get killed because of what I did, right? Of course, that he killed Hevel, and now he's going to be a wanderer, and he says, I'm going to get killed. Where his claim for protection comes from, another whole discussion. And in Pasuk Tetvav it says, Vayomer lo Hashem, lachen kol horeg Kain, shivatayim yukam. Now, this is another phrase that has many, many different interpretations. For the sake of our shiur, I will offer two possible ways of understanding what Hashem is saying to Kain here. Either shivatayim yukam means that anybody, kol horeg Kain, shivatayim yukam, anybody who kills Kain will be punished, will be taken revenge against. In other words, Cain will be avenged sevenfold. In other words, it's a way of protecting Cain. Anyone who tries to kill him will receive as punishment sevenfold revenge. Or another way that it is interpreted is that Hashem is saying, hold on one second, technical difficulty, that Cain will be punished, he will be taken revenge against after seven generations, right? Shivatayim understood by some commentaries as not sevenfold, but in seven generations from now, right? In sevenfold time, I guess you could say. In other words, Cain will not be punished right now. His punishment will be pushed off to some future date. Okay. Again, there are many other ways of interpreting these words. Certainly, many other subtleties within these interpretations that can be offered. But those generally are two of the main ways of understanding these psukim that we need for the purpose of our podcast today. So back to our pasuk, right? So Lemech is saying, in the case of Cain, right, it said ki shivatayim yukam Cain, right, according to one of those possibilities that we just saw, right, that either Cain will be, it was said about Cain that he would be punished seven generations from the time that he killed Hevel, or that his death would be avenged sevenfold, and all the more so, right, lemech shivim v'shiva, whichever one of those interpretations you want to understand, it should be even the more so for lemech. Now, as you see, right, if you're not completely lost by now, every word, every phrase of this story, you know, is unclear, and every one of them has many different interpretations. We are not today going to do a thorough examination of all the different ways of understanding what lemech is saying here. That would take a very, very long time. But what I am going to do is give you a taste. I'm going to show you, we're going to learn together a few of the interpretations. And the purpose will be twofold. Number one, so you can get a sense of the variety of interpretation of these words, meaning because there's so many questions that can be answered in different ways, So you get a large variety of how to understand what's going on here. And then, of course, the second purpose is then to try to understand, for each given commentary, well, then how do we understand the character of Lamech within the context of Sefer Bereshit? Meaning, if Lamech is one of these characters which to which the Torah devotes more psukim, more time, more explanation, then why? Right? What is the message? What is the purpose of our hearing this story about Lamech here? Okay, so the first commentary that I would like to look at is found in Rashi. Now, Rashi actually brings two different interpretations to what is going on here. I'd like actually to look at the second one first. So this second interpretation brought by Rashi, he takes from Midrash Rabbah, from Bereshit Rabbah, and he says, U'midrash Bereshit Rabbah, lo harag lemech klum. Right, according to this midrash that Rashi is quoting, Lamech didn't actually kill anybody, despite the fact that he says ki ish haragti lipitzi v'yaled chaburati. Right, he didn't kill anybody. Right, and Rashi will explain. V'nashav, his two wives, right, Ada and Sila, porshot mimenu mishekimu priya v'rivia, defi shenigzira gzera lechalot zaro shel kain la'achar shiv'a dorot. Right, so his wives separated from him after they had their initial children and had fulfilled the necessity to do pruravu, because there was a gzerah, there was a decree that the descendants of Cain would be destroyed after seven generations, right? So this refers back to the interpretation which says, kol hore Cain shivatayim yukam, that Cain will be punished after seven generations, right? So this midrash is assuming that interpretation. So the wives of Ada and Sila don't want to have any more children because of this. Amru, ma anu yoldot levehala, lemachar ha-mabul ba, v'shotef et hakol. Right? What's the purpose of having any more children? Right? We're gonna have children just so that they can be destroyed. Right? Interestingly, it says lemachar ha-mabul ba, right? The flood is going to come tomorrow and wipe everything away. So there seems to be a connection in this midrash made between the wiping out of the descendants of Cain and the mabul, right? A piece of information which we will store in the back of our mind. V'hu omer lahen, right? And his response, Lamech's response, is the following. V'chi ish haragti lepitzi, v'chi ani haragti et hevel, shahaya ish bekoma v'yeled b'shanim, sheyehe zar'i kala be'oto avon. Right? So, here, Lamech's response to his wives is one of astonishment. Right, his words ki ish haragti lepitzi isn't a statement. He isn't saying I killed a man, I killed a boy. Rather, he's saying v'chi ish haragti lepitzi. Did I kill a man? Right? Did I kill a man to? Here, the midrash understands as him saying, did I kill a man, meaning did I kill Hevel the way that Cain killed Hevel, right? And this midrash understands is the Ish and the Yelid is the same person, because Hevel was like a man in stature, but he was still a young boy in his actual age, right? So he said, did I kill Hevel the way that Cain did? And apparently this midrash understands the word lipitzi as to my own detriment, right? Sheyehezari kaleb oto avon, right? Did I kill a man that I should be punished for it? That I should get a petza because of it by having my descendants, destroyed because of it? And then he continues, Uma kain sheharag nitlelo shivadorot, right? So in the case of Cain, who actually did kill Hevel, and his punishment is pushed off for seven generations, ani shelo haragti, right? I, who did not kill anybody, So even though there's this decree, this curse hanging over my head from the days of Cain, that something bad should happen to my descendants, right? But I, who didn't do anything wrong, lo kol shekein sheit lili shvi'iyot harbe, right? Shouldn't it be that I should get even more leeway, right? Why should I be punished when I didn't do anything, right? I should be given even more leeway than Cain was. And then Rashi goes on, "V'zeh kal v'chomer shel shtut, im ken ein hakadosh baruch hu gova et chavo u'mikayem et dvaro." He said that this doesn't make any sense, because then, you know, if this were the case, then the decree that God gave 7 generations earlier would never be fulfilled. Okay, but that's an after the fact point. So here, what we have in this first interpretation is a way of dealing with each of the questions that came up in our discussion of the story. So first of all, Ish harakti lepitzi, right? What is the purpose of the words of Lemech? So first of all, according to his interpretation, Lemech is trying to convince his wives that they shouldn't separate from him. They should continue to have children with him. And his tone is one of, you could say that it's explanatory, it's defensive. It's what they would say in commentary. It was bitzmiha, right? It's a tone of astonishment, right? Is this the case? And the answer to that rhetorical question, of course, is no, right? So Lemech's point is to say, I didn't kill anybody, and therefore nothing bad should happen to me, and therefore you should come back to me. Did he kill anybody? No. Right? What is lepitzi bechaburati? Right? Did I kill anybody that I myself should be harmed? Right? And he says no. Right? And therefore I should not. If Cain wasn't punished for 7 generations, then I certainly should have much more leeway than that. Right? That is the first interpretation brought in. The second opinion brought by Rashi. The second opinion that I want to look at, the second interpretation, is the first opinion brought in Rashi. And for that, let's look back at the text in Rashi, the second Rashi. Shema'an koli, shehayu nashav porshot mimenu mitashmish. Right? So again, even according to the second opinion in Rashi, we see that his wives have separated from him, right? So the situation is the same, but we'll see in a moment that it's for a different reason. Shehayu nashav porshos mimenu mitashmish lefi shehoreg et kain ve'et tuval kain, right? According to this interpretation, which will be explained in a moment, the ish and the yeled that were killed by Lemech were Cain and Tuval Cain. Cain, his forefather, and Tuval Cain, his son. And that is the reason, and because he killed these two people, his wives have separated from him. Shehaya Lemech Suma, right? Because Lemech was blind. V'tuval Cain Moshcho, right? And Tuval Cain used to pull him, used to lead him around. V'ra'a et Cain, v'nidme lo k'chaya, right? He saw, meaning Tuval Cain, saw Cain, and he thought that he was an animal. Right now, this is based on Midrashim, and there are many different versions of this idea in different sources. Interesting question: why Lemech was blind? There's a good article on that written by James Kugel, trying to understand where this idea in the Midrash comes from that Lemech was blind. In all cases, these various sources have Lemech is blind, and he's a hunter. No less, and his son Tuval Cain would lead him around so that he could know where to hunt and where the animals are to shoot, right? So Tuval Cain is leading him around, and Tuval Cain sees Cain, thinks that he's an animal, right? This probably based on the idea that Cain had an oath, had some sort of sign put on him by Hashem to protect him, and there are those who say that it was something like a horn. Right, in some versions of Midrash, right, and therefore he looked like an animal to Tuval Cain when they were walking around in the woods. Ve'amar la'aviv limshoch bakeshet. He said to his father to get the arrow ready. Ve'hargo, right, and to kill him. Ve'kevan sheyada shehu Cain, and when Lemech realized that it was Cain, zikno, he kakaf el kaf, He smacked his hands together, v'sapaket beno b'nehem, and he accidentally kind of like trapped his son in the middle of it. He kind of squashed his son in the middle of his two hands as he was clapping his hands in distress after having killed Cain accidentally. V'hargo, and he killed him. V'hayu nashav parshot mimenu v'hu mifaisan. Right, and therefore his wives separated from him, and he was trying to woo them back. And he says to them, Shema'an koli, lehishama li letashmish. V'chi ish asher haragti lepitzi hu neherag? V'chi ani petzaativ mezid sheyehe ha-petza karui al shemi? V'yeled asher haragti lechaburati neherag? Klomar al yidei chaburati? Bitmiha, right? Again, his response is a response of astonishment, like we saw in the first interpretation we read in Rashi. But here his words are different, and the interpretation of the words is different. Right? He's saying here, this man and this boy that I killed, was it lipitzi that they were killed? Was it because of some wound that I inflicted on them? And of course you say, well, if he killed them, yes, it was his wound. But how does the second interpretation understand lipitzi and Chaburati, right? Are they my woundings? Are they something that can be called an affliction that I afflicted? So why not, according to his reasoning? Because I didn't do it b'mezid, right? So therefore, it can't be a petza shekarui al shmi. It's not something that was my wounding of the person because I didn't do it intentionally, right? So he separates himself from his action because it was bishogeg. It was an accidental killing, right? So it's not. So, ish haragti v'chi ish haragti lepitzi v'yelad l'chaburati. Did I kill these people with my woundings? Was it something that I wanted to do? Right? And the answer to the rhetorical question, of course, is no, right? Meaning I killed, but I killed bishogeg. I didn't kill intentionally, and therefore you should come back to me, he's saying to his wives. Right? So now back to our our analysis of what is going on in this interpretation. Right? So did Lamech kill according to his interpretation? Yes, this time he killed, but he killed unintentionally, right? As opposed to the first interpretation where he did not kill at all. Here he killed, but unintentionally. And again, the tone of his words is a bitmiha tone, a defensive, explanatory, astonished kind of tone. Right? Perhaps in this interpretation, you could also say there's a bit of a tone of regret. Not so much in his words, but in the story, right? In the story when he claps his hands together in sorrow, right, in distress, right? So there's a tinge of regret. So perhaps in his words you can add also a little bit of a, oh my God, listen what I did by accident. Who did he kill? Cain and Tuval Cain. That's the Ish and the Yelid here, right? Lipitzi lechaburati, what does that mean? Are they a petz and a chabura that are really mine? Something that I really inflicted that you can call mine? And his answer, of course, is no. And the understanding of the words ki shivatayim yukam kain v'lemach shivim v'shiva seems to be the same as in the first interpretation, although it's not spelled out, right? So I, who killed not intentionally, I killed who b'shogeg, certainly the leeway should be greater for me than for Cain, who killed intentionally, at least according to most interpretations. And that is the second interpretation. So we already see, right, even within just Rashi, right, that there are so many different questions that could be answered in so many different ways that you can come to very different kinds of conclusions, right? Whether he killed or whether he did not kill. Why he feels like he should be exonerated, how to understand the words lepitzi lechaburati, etc. And so already in these two interpretations, we see two very different ways of understanding what Lemech said. Now, for the third, I'm going to bring one last interpretation. Although, again, as I said, there are many different interpretations in the different commentaries. And I'm bringing this one because it's very different than the two we've seen so far. And it's found in the Malbim. There's a similar idea found in the Ibn Ezra, although it's not exactly the same. And the Malbim says the following. trying again to understand the words ki ish haragti li pitzi ve yeled lechaburati. Ish echad asal li petza ve haragti oto. Right? Ki ish haragti li pitzi. Right? A man gave me a petza. Ish echad asal li petza ve haragti oto. Right? I killed a man because of my petza, because of a petza that was done to me. U ve et hahereg natan bichabura. And while I was killing this man for giving me a petza, he gave me a chabura. Shehikalami petza. Right? He gave me another less significant wound. Veharagti gameta yelet shelo. Because he wounded me, I then killed his son. Right? So that's how we understand ish haragti lipitzi v'yelet bechaburati. Velo hayami shiyakum kinegdi v'yivakesh damam. And there's nobody to avenge their deaths. No one's going to come up and fight against me for having killed them. V'yivakesh damam yadi ki en mishpat negdi ba'aretz ki zeroi rama. Nobody is going to take revenge for my killing these two people. Why? Because there's no law of the land against me, right? Because I'm the strong one, right? I'm in charge here. Nobody's going to fight against me. V'im tomar, right, this is Lamech continuing, v'im tomar she'e'anesh b'din shamayim, and if you say, well, God will get you, as ashiv, right? If you say that you're going to be punished by God, this is how I respond. Ki im Kayin shehaya rotzeach harishon, bechol zot amar Hashem shemi sheyaharog oto yinakem al achat sheva. Right, so here the Malbim is assuming a different understanding of Shivatayim Yukam Kayin. Here the understanding is that this was part, Shivatayim Yukam Kayin was part of the protection of Kayin, right? That anybody who kills Kayin will be punished sevenfold, will be revenged sevenfold. Right? So if Hashem said about Kayin, the first Rotzeach, that Shemishi Yaharogo to Yinakem Alachat Sheva, Kol Shekein Lemech. Right? If he can get off so easily that Hashem's willing to protect him, that anyone who tries to touch him, to anyone who kills him, will be punished sevenfold, so all the more so me, Lemech, Shehu Takif Yoter Mikayin, Vehu Moshel Memshal Rav. Right? Because he's even stronger than Kayin. And he's in charge of a lot of people. He's a ruler over a large amount of people. Shemi sheyehargehu yinakem pi shivim v'sheva. Ki banav va'avadav yikhu nikmato. Anybody who tries to kill this guy, Lamech, revenge will be taken for his death 77-fold. Right? Why? Because he's such a powerful person. His sons and his servants and everybody will avenge his death. Right? Now this is a very different interpretation. Right? If we go back to our, point by point analysis, we see very different understanding of the story. Here, not only did Lamech kill, but he killed intentionally. Although it was in self-defense, the Malbim, anyway, seems to be assuming that it was overkill, so to speak. Meaning that this guy hurt him, and he killed him in response, right? And that's why I think the Malbim says that when he was killing the man who gave him the petza, so the man gave him a chabura, which is less than a petza, and then he killed the boy. Meaning that he killed the boy for a minor wound. So the idea in the Malbim seems to be that while it was in self-defense, it was too much. It was an overreaction. But even more to the point, he's very proud of it, right? The tone of the Malbim's interpretation, Lemech's words in the Malbim's interpretation, is a proud, haughty, almost like a song, a chant, right? I have killed a man, I have killed a boy, and I am proud of it. Right? That seems to be the tone that he has here. If you look in certain English translations, particularly the more recent ones of Tanakh, they all take on this tone, right? It's of one of a song, almost like a battle cry, like nobody can get me because I'm strong and I can kill whomever I want. That seems to be The way the Malbim is understanding this. Now, as opposed to the interpretation in Rashi, where the people who were killed, according to the second interpretation we looked at, were Cain and Tuval Cain. Here, it's not that at all. It's just somebody. We don't know who Lamech got into a fight with here, but somebody tried to hurt him, and he killed that person and his son. It's not connected at all to the story of Cain. Ish harakti lipitzi v'yad bechaburati, pitzi chaburati, those psa'im and chaburot that were done to me. And kishivatayim yukam Cain v'lemech shivim shiva, right? So Cain, it was said, would be punished in 7 generations. That's the wrong one. Cain, Cain's death, it was said, would be avenged 7 times over. And therefore, for Lamech, who is even more powerful and more strong, right, his death will be avenged 77 times. Right, a very, very different understanding of the story. I'm just going to say in passing that there's a similar interpretation in the Ibn Ezra. What's interesting in the Ibn Ezra is that he makes it a theoretical murder, right? That we're not talking about a murder a killing that actually happened, right? That Lamech is saying, I have actually killed somebody and his son, but rather it's a theoretical idea, right? Ki ish haragti lipitzi. Ibn Ezra shows how sometimes the past tense haragti is really a theoretical future tense. I will kill a man lipitzi. Anyone who tries to hurt me, I will kill him. V'yelid l'chaburati. Right? If I'm wounded, if I get a chabura, if I get a bruise, I will kill a boy. Right? Turning it into a theoretical thing, not something that actually happened, but it's kind of like almost like an ideal. This is what I will do to anybody who does this to me. So we see here a very, very different way of understanding the story. I said earlier, and I'll say again, right, with each of these mefarshim, we see how in almost every case, the different questions in the psukim are dealt with in a different way. If you would take a look at the variety of different mefarshim that exist on this story, right? You could almost take each of these different elements and mix and match them in different ways, and that's the variety of interpretation of the story that you will find in the, you know, the general treasury of commentary on this story, right? So you have a lot of different ways of understanding the story. The real significance, I think, going back to the particular interpretations that we looked at today, the significance of these different interpretations is the difference that arises when understanding these interpretations within the broader context of the story. The first two interpretations, the two that we saw in Rashi, make this story of Lamech essentially the end of the Cain and Hevel story, right? Don't forget, the Cain and Hevel story is in the beginning of Perek Dalet. Then there's a couple of genealogical comments made for a few psukim, from Pasuk Yud Zayin until Pasukim Yud Zayin and Yud Chet, and then already the end of Pasuk Yud Chet, we're introduced to Lamech, and then we have what we looked at today, right? So just two psukim in the middle, you know, give us some genealogy, and then we go into the story of Lamech. So the first two, the two interpretations in Rashi, see this Lamech vignette as being the end of the Cain story. In the first interpretation in Rashi that we looked at, right, the reaction of the interpretation is based on the reaction of Lamech's wives to Hashem's decree at the end of the Cain and Hevel story. It's basically the PS to the story. Kind of like many other places in Tanakh, where later on we're informed that the word of the prophet or the word of Hashem had been fulfilled. Right? For example, at the end of the story of the destruction of Yericho in Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua makes a curse that anybody who rebuilds Yericho, when you start building it, the oldest son will die, and when you finish building it, the youngest son will die. And then later on, when this happens in Sefer Melachim Aleph, right, we're told that Chiel Beit Ha'eli rebuilds Yericho, and the story has a says, and his oldest died when he began, and his youngest died when he ended, just as Yehoshua had said. Right? So you have the same kind of thing here, just that here, it just happens to Psukim later, so the Torah doesn't feel the need to say, right, as God had said, etc., etc. Right? According to his interpretation, that's the clear connection that is being made. It's interesting, right, in this light, in some ways, if you look at the Lemech and the Cain and Hevel story as connecting the way, Lemech is similar, possibly, to Cain, at least according to some of the interpretations of the two stories. Right, according to one interpretation, Cain didn't even mean to kill Hevel, right? So we could see similar circumstances where, you know, Lemech didn't mean to kill Cain and Cain didn't mean to kill Hevel, and it's just, you know, bad things repeating themselves. If Cain did mean to kill Hevel, which is certainly a possibility, then Lemech's crime seems even less bad. But it's just the ending of the story, right? It was an unfortunate circumstance which occurred in order to end the story. In other words, for Cain to be killed, right? The justice to finally be served. This is not the case in the last interpretation, the commentary of the Malbim. There, Lemech's crime seems even worse than Cain's. Even if Cain killed intentionally, and even if he killed in anger, there's something in the story. He was sufficiently remorseful or embarrassed or scared, something, right, to try to cover it up. Right? Now, this does not make him a great hero or a great tzaddik, right? But, you know, there was he was embarrassed or scared or remorseful about something that he had done. Lemech, on the other hand, according to the Malbim's interpretation, he relishes that he's killed this person. He's proud of it, right? And if you look in the Ibn Ezra that I mentioned, right there, he's even saying it as an ideal. If anyone does this to me, I'm saying this ahead of time. This is what I will do to them, right? At the very least, if one could say that if one had hoped that murder would end where it had begun, meaning with Cain, that Lemech, according to the Malbim's interpretation, shows that this is far from the case, that it's become more widespread and more acceptable. And it's become a point of pride, right? And the end, not only has it become a point of pride, not only has it become more acceptable, but Lemech defends his murderous ways, according to the Malbim, through the precedent of Cain, right? If Cain did that and God protected him, right, then surely I am okay in this situation, right? So it's dafka through the story of Cain that Lemech can defend his murderous actions. It's not surprising, according to this last interpretation, then, that the very next pasuk after this story of Lemech tells us of the birth of Shet, right? Shet being the new line born to Adam and Chava as a replacement for Hevel, but who essentially replaces Cain. Right, and Lemech, and all of those violent descendants who will be swept away very soon in the flood. Right, the very flood from which Shet's descendant Noach is saved. Right, so as opposed to the first two interpretations, those found in Rashi, which basically see the Lemech story as the end of the Cain and Hevel story, the Malbim's interpretation, the Ibn Ezra's interpretation, sees it more as what carries us into the next story, what carries us into the story of Noach and the flood and the destruction of the world that needed to be destroyed, because humanity had gotten so much worse, right, even from the time of Cain, the first murderer.